Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And welcome to Overnight America. Yeah. I was surprised the amount of people that were outside driving into work today. Normally, once it gets dark and cold, you don't see a lot of people walking around unless there's a big event. Like if the Blues are playing over the Scott trade, you'll see a lot of people walking. They're trying to find parking spaces, things like that. Tonight's a big bar night, isn't it? Like tonight and tomorrow, I thought a lot of people go out because as I was driving in, there was a bunch of, you know, young whippersnappers out there looking for fun things to do, I'm guessing, at the street corners doing things like that. None of which were holding Polar Pops, but what they were doing was looking for places to park. I'm not used to seeing this much traffic, so I want to wish everyone listening right now, I wish that you have a great Thanksgiving with family and friends. I hope you get that opportunity to share that with them. I'm really looking forward to it again this year. It's my favorite holiday every year without fail. There's not one other holiday I would trade for Thanksgiving, not one. And it's a special time. And I want you to know that when I give thanks, I'll be thinking of each and every one of you, almost every one of you. Yeah, almost everyone. But what I will also say is that the ability to be here and be part of this radio station, to be part of this program, to be a part of your lives, really, it's a weird dynamic radio people have, because if you're listening right now and if you're a regular listener of this radio station, you know what kind of an impact people have. Because if you've, for the decades, listened to Jim White or Jack Buck or Charlie Brennan or Mark Reardon for, you know, forever you could have been listening to these guys. Well, decades at least. And Charlie even longer. You know, there's so many people behind the scenes here at KMOX that have worked here for decades as well. Like Peggy, for example, last week is someone that worked here for 40-some years, 42 years, just retired. It's amazing. You may never have heard her voice unless you would have called in at some point, but she had a major impact on everything you heard on this radio station. And to be a part of that, it's very, very humbling, and it's very, I don't take it lightly. So I do want to take this time to thank you, the listeners of this radio station, and to thank you, all the people that listen to this radio program. And I also want to say that later tonight, we're going to have all kinds of stuff. I mean, normally when I prepare for a show, I think to myself, what are the most relevant stories I can bring up today? What are the most interesting things? What are some of the zany things? What are some of the tech things? What are some of the heartfelt things? What are some of the big news stories? There's a lot of types of stories I look for. But being that it's close to Thanksgiving and people may be listening right now as you're, I don't know, a little bit worried about what's going to happen tomorrow during the day, you know, oh, do we have enough chairs? What's going to happen? Are we going to have so-and-so sit next to Aunt whoever after what happened last year? You know, hopefully you don't have to worry about those things. And tonight we can just enjoy our time together. So that's why I'm going to keep the phone lines open, considering it's a holiday. 314-436-7900. That's a number you can call or a number you can text, or 800-925-1120. For the people working diners or retail, for the people that are driving truck, for the people that are just trying to get to their families as they drive across this great country, I want to welcome you in. And, you know, it's just not a Thanksgiving thing. I'm thankful all the time. There was one story I've had in my pile of things to talk about for probably the past 2 weeks. And I'm going to just talk about it now because I love stories like this. And when I go online and I look at local stories, I look for stuff like this. And I say, these are the type of people I hope listen to the radio program. And this is the first line from the Post-Dispatch. It was an epic fight of woman versus hawk in St. Louis this month. Now you have my attention. Woman versus hawk in St. Louis? I want to know more. Tell me more. Her name is Peggy. She was standing near her home in Tower Grove South November 2nd when she heard ruckus coming from her backyard chicken coop. Number one, you live in Tower Grove. Can you have chicken coops? What's the laws here? Because every city and every community have their different type of ideas of what you're allowed to do when it comes to chicken coops. I can tell you that most neighbors aren't too fond if you hold a chicken coop in the backyard. And then the neighbors that have them don't care. If you have a chicken coop, you probably have zero care about what your neighbors think of you. I'm just going to throw that out there. But still, to play to this story, I think is even better. She said, I went tearing down the sidewalk the moment I heard it. I knew something was wrong. When Peggy rounded the corner, she saw most of her chickens cowering under a blackberry bush. She quickly spotted the culprit, a majestic red-tailed hawk, its wings outstretched and its claws wrapped around the little wing of one of the eight chickens. Ooh, see, you got me hooked. I want to know what happens here. The chicken was screaming her head off, so I just started yelling at the hawk, get out of here! Now, if you have a bunch of chicken in the backyard, you understand it's going to all of a sudden attract predators. My neighbor across the street, I was talking to her. They got this little tiny dog. I mean, one of those dogs that you can fit into a purse, but not just like a regular purse, probably even a clutch, which is those little tiny mini purses that women carry. I mean, it was a tiny dog. And she said, I guess can't let the dog outside because of the hawks. I'm afraid that the hawk's going to come and take my dog. So every time we got a litter outside, got to put her on a leash, and I walk out here with her just to be safe. Wow, that's commitment. I mean, if you have a dog and you have to take it out on a leash every time, it's like living in a big city. If you're in New York City, you can't just let the dog in the backyard. You're living in that concrete jungle, man. You got to go out and find those designated areas. So it's almost like that. You have a pretty big dedication to your animal at this point. In this case, her animals are chickens. So I just wanted to get out of here. Peggy lightly struck the bird with a stick. If it was me and I was trying to protect my dog, for example, it wouldn't be a light touch. I'd be shooting for the fences. I mean, I would be out there, Babe Ruth, man. I'd be trying to knock that bad boy as far as I could, lightly tapping this hawk trying to steal your chickens. Yeah, right. I would put up my baseball bat and aim towards the fences, and then I'd pretend like it was, you know, Sunday night baseball, man. So she lightly struck the bird with a stick. I don't know where she got the stick from. And then it flew around and then continued to keep an eye. Because once the bird gets a taste of the good life, it's not going anywhere. She said the bird retreated. For some reason, she believed it wasn't going to come back. Went inside, called her husband in the house, then heard the squawking again. Well, no kidding. It's a bird. So the bird was back for another round. It jumped to the side of the cage and again and tried to grab a wing of one of the hens inside. At one point, the bird just landed and stood on a piece of wood. She captured the whole encounter on video on her phone. So I guess she gave up trying to swing for the fences and then at that point started filming. She said, it was just so amazing. I've never seen a predator like that up close. Peggy, who works in a garden design and maintenance shop here in St. Louis, posted the story on Facebook. The chickens are alive. Her husband looks like they're trying to figure out ways to help protect those bad boys. But it's actually very common. You guys see hawks? Like, where are you? And what kind of predators do you see flying around? You have any stories like that? Have you had to protect your animals from predators? It doesn't have to be a hawk. I know sometimes, like, when I was growing up, you heard stories all the time about wolves or, like, packs of wolves coming or packs of dogs. And, for example, I knew someone that had alpacas, and she got a llama because the llama was the big bad dude and would ward off packs of wolves and things. Those llamas don't mess around. 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. You know, we are going to talk about predators. Al Franken's attempt to talk on the show here. So we will get to predators. Don't worry. But animal predators, that's what we're going to start with on Overnight America KMOX. Producer Cole here. What does your shirt say? Grandma likes me best. Grandma likes me best. You're already starting things with the family. You wear that to the table. Does grandma really like you best, though? You bought a shirt that says grandma likes me best. Is it a competition between you and your family members? Mostly? Yeah. lots of siblings, lots of cousins. The fight for who grandma likes best starts tomorrow, 2017. You should get like a trophy or something to give around. Like, so the cousins and the siblings and the brothers, the sisters, the extended family, whoever grandma decides she likes best gets the trophy for the year. Now, I know you're lobbying for it. And a lot of people listening here, they probably feel like they're the number one sibling. I'm guessing they feel that way. I know. I don't know if I am. Like, I always thought I was, but I don't know. I've asked the parents. They don't give me an answer. Are you allowed to have a favorite kid, like, as a parent? I don't know. I feel like most parents do have a favorite, even though they're not allowed to. For my sake, I don't know if my parents ever told me I was the favorite or not. I don't think I am. I don't know. You know what? Make that awkward tomorrow. When you're at the dinner table and everyone's trying to think of something to say, you can only take so much. Oh, this is really good. Oh, you did a great job on this turkey. Man, taste those mashed potatoes. Did you really make those or those? No, you really made those? Oh, those are so good. And then right when everyone, you hear the clinking of the silverware and stuff and it's hitting the plates. Ding, 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 clunk, clunk, clunk. And then all you say is, hey, by the way, mom and dad, who's your favorite kid? That'd be a great topic for the table tomorrow. Do it. Here, that's my challenge to anyone listening. If you are going to eat with your parents, no matter how old you are, ask your parents, who was your favorite kid? See if they answer. And if you can, report back to me, because I'll be off tomorrow night for Thanksgiving, but I will be back Sunday night. Maybe we'll talk about it next week. Well, coming up this hour, too, a Thanksgiving talk with Chris Raby, the great sportscaster here for KMOX, someone you hear pregame and postgame for the Cardinals and the Blues and Sports Open Line. We have a lot of Thanksgiving talk to get to. All right, so let's talk predators, not just hawk-related, but there's also some people predators out there. There's one in St. Louis that I just don't quite understand. We'll get to that after this. First, something that's kind of textbook predator. Former sports doctor accused of molesting 125 girls and young women while he worked for Team USA Gymnastics at Michigan State University pleaded guilty to multiple charges of sexual assault, will face at least 25 years in prison. 125 girls and you only get 25 years in prison? That doesn't make sense to me. That doesn't make sense. That's like nothing. Larry Nassar, 54-year-old, admitted to, digitally penetrating seven girls? Not digitally, yeah. Mostly under the guise of treatment at his Lansing area home or campus clinic between 98 and 2015. That doesn't seem right. I mean, 125 girls accused of molesting at least and then penetrating seven? You only get 25 years for that? That doesn't make a lick of sense. Here's Jerrica Duncan reporting from CBS.
In a statement, Michigan State University officials say they are grateful for how the MSU Police Department handled this investigation. USA Gymnastics said it is very sorry that any athlete was harmed by Nassar. Sentencing is scheduled for January. Nassar faces 25 years to life in prison. Jerrica Duncan, CBS News, Lansing, Michigan.
Wow, that does not make sense. Like, 25 years. Let's just do some math here. Divided by 125, accused of molesting, he pled guilty. So, what, 2/10 of a year for each assault? That's insane. Why is it only 25 years? Why is this predator getting such a lenient sentence? Oh, my goodness. You got to be kidding me. I mean, that comes out to less than a month per, or less than 2 months per girl. Well, that is not right. How is he getting such a sentence like that? I don't get it. Here's another story from KMOV, and I don't get this either. St. Louis police confirming to News 4 they're investigating themselves after an alarming incident earlier this month. Two parents were found in a car, passed out from suspected overdoses. A 2-year-old child was in the back seat, but the child stayed with the parents. You're telling me police get called out, they're in a car, they got the seatbelt on, they're passed out. They call for medics to save these parents' lives from the overdose. And what do they find? The car seat in the back with the 2-year-old child sitting there as their parents lay lifeless in the front seat. How do they allow the kid to stay with the parents in something like that? James Anthony, the man who witnessed the incident, said it happened outside of a home on Goodfellow and Lalite earlier this month. They parked right there and passed out. He was shocked to learn the 2-year-old child was with them. An off-duty firefighter nearby called for aid. Off-duty, by the way. Two adult occupants unconscious, unresponsive. The Captain Garen Mosby with the St. Louis Fire Department said Captain Mosby was with the parents and revived them with treatment for what police called suspected overdoses. So like this Narcan stuff, which isn't cheap. Narcan ain't cheap. You know, you plug them with one of these Narcan pills, it saves a life, but does it change the habits? But also, if you're stupid enough to be in a car overdosing with your kid in the back seat, you don't deserve to have that kid. You really don't. Yeah, this is, I'm shaking my head right now because why in the world would they allow the kid to go back with these parents after the revival? Captain Mosby said the parents were revived with appropriate treatment. Had they been there a few minutes late, it's a good possibility those two adults would have died in that car. Law enforcement officers called to the scene. Yes, law enforcement were. So the firefighters were there to try to help. Officers, though, didn't take the child with them. If you're a law enforcement officer and you go to a scene like this, I mean, that is heart-wrenching. Because when I look at stories like this, I think you got to take care of the kid. You know, to me, the kid's more important than the parents. And especially in parents that are abusing themselves with drugs, you do what you can to help that kid before you help those parents, I believe. Why would you do this? So this, let me ask this question to you if you're listening right now, because this kind of outrages me that they would just so easily allow the kid to stay with the parents like this. If you're someone that has to be revived because of a drug overdose, let's say they had to shove the Narcan in you, you're in a car and the kid's in the back seat and you're going to lay there motionless, dead to the world. And if it wasn't for the help that came, you would have been dead sitting there with your kid in the back seat. Let me just ask you this. Is it automatic you take the kid away? Can you think of any scenario where you let the kid stay with the parents? 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. Am I just going too hard? I mean, you might be thinking, no, you got to give the parents a second chance. Dude, I think you have to earn that second chance. You take the kid away immediately because you don't want the kid to be in that atmosphere and you don't want the kid to be around these knuckleheads that allow for themselves to basically kill themselves with drugs. You know, what if it happens in the home? What is that 2-year-old going to do if the kids or the parents lay motionless where a bystander can't see it and call for help? What happens to the kid then? I know exactly what happens to the kid. Probably hurts himself, and I don't even want to think what worse could happen. Plus everything the kid has to see and witness and live through after that. Insane. You got to get the kid out. The medic, she went above and beyond after transporting the parents, attempted to call in the situation to get someone to come pick up the kid. But guess what? Hotline was busy. Couldn't call for help. This is insane. All right, we're going to take some of your calls on this coming up next on KMOX.
Hey, it's Kelly and Hancock, and we wanted to wish you and your family a happy holidays.
Actually, a Merry Christmas.
Come on, Hancock.
Come
happy
on,
holidays.
Michael. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Happy holidays from KMOX.
Welcome back to Overnight America. I don't know if I'm just going too hard here, but I feel like if you're someone that has to be revived through a drug overdose and there's a kid in the car, it's an automatic the kid goes. You earn your rights back to get that kid. I can't believe this kid was allowed to just stay with the parents after this. Yeah, boy. All right, so let's take some calls on this. And your text messages, too, at 314-436-7900. Rich calling in from South Bend. Rich, what's up?
The answer is obvious. The parents know somebody who carries a lot of weight and buried the report, and somebody dug it up.
But you think so? Why do you say this?
Why do I say that? If you were a cop, let's say a 3-stripe sergeant, you're going to do that on your own authority? No. Somebody with some sort of a shiny thing on his collar told you to do it.
You mean told you to not call in the kid? Is that what you're saying? So basically,
yeah.
You believe the couple
words,
had some sort of leverage or some sort of clout that allowed them to be above the law?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Well, it sounds like they tried to call it in. The medic actually took a step to try to call in the state agencies responsible for children, but couldn't get through on the phone. which is kind of crazy, too.
But the medic ain't a cop.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. The cops were called there, and it said they're going to investigate this. If this is what you're saying is actually the case, I'd be so disappointed, Rich. I'd be extremely disappointed. I mean, because you got to put the kid in the bed. The kid is what you should be protecting here, not the parents.
Well, again, it's who you know. I mean, how many times have you heard the story and read it that cop's kid, drunk as a skunk, is not arrested but driven home?
Yeah, you hear about that every once in a while. In Rich, it happens. I don't know how often, but it happens. You're right. All right, so that could be the case. I don't know, but that could be the case. I know that Channel 4 here that's reporting it are pretty deep into this, so I'm sure we'll get some closure on it hopefully here soon.
Somebody, they know somebody with at least, okay, using military rank, at least a major, yeah, in that police department. And maybe that sergeant had a conscience and dug up the report.
Who knows? All right, hey, thanks, Rich. Good to hear from you. Happy Thanksgiving to you.
Sure. Same to you.
All right. We had another call, but it looks like they dropped off. But that's okay. 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. I think this is true. But later in the article, News 4 went to the child's home and found her with her mom. She denies doing any drugs, and she said her and her husband were just very tired. I don't buy it. Biggest concern I would have, according to Matt Cleathermes, I think that's how you say his name, from the Child Advocacy Center, said the biggest concern I have is because if a child has been exposed to that one time, there's a good chance that it'll happen again. I agree. If you're someone that uses and you have a problem, there are people that will help you. There are people that will come to where you are and help you. And there's programs designed to help you get off of it. If anything, you do that for your children. If not for yourself, you do it for your children. And imagine something does happen to this kid in the future. And we find out not only was this not properly reported, but they allowed for the condition that hurt this child. Anything could happen in the future. What if it happens that these kids are in a situation where the parents get violent based on this drug use? Or even worse, they get overdosed again, and there's no one there to save them with some Narcan, and the kid's living alone in a house with no one to check up on them. Do you think a two-year-old, how long can a two-year-old survive? Does a two-year-old know how to dial for emergency? Probably not. Does a two-year-old, I'm just thinking for my own two-year-old's sake, does a two-year-old know to go next door and talk to a parent or a guardian or talking to a neighbor? Absolutely, they don't. They don't think about those things. Now imagine if there were animals, too. Imagine there's so many different scenarios of things that they need to be mindful of for this child. And it feels like all of those things were ignored. And it really, really bothers me. And good for Channel 4 to dig into this. I think they did an excellent job. You can go to their site and read it. Same person here, Matt. Usually the quicker you can connect them with a trusted loved one, the better off they are. Ideally, he says, whether it's law enforcement or Good Samaritan, the key is to act fast. A plea to you, as we talk about family, if you know someone that's using and gets to this point, don't give up on your family members. I know there's, it gets to the point where you think there's nothing you can do, but if you truly, truly love them, don't give up on them. If you are someone that feels like you're going down this path or whatever it may be, and you think there's no stopping it and there's nothing you can do to get out of it, the least you can do for your kids is to seek treatment for their well-being. And it may seem like the rush or the addiction is stronger than your bond with your children when all you feel is that chemical dependency that thing has shoved through your system. And I'm here to tell you, not from someone with experience, but someone who has heard a lot of stories and talked to people that have struggled through things like this, that those are all lies to you in your body. They're all lies. There's nothing you can't overcome, and there is nothing that will ever be able to fill that hole, that love you should have for your children, regardless of what that drug temporarily makes you feel like. we got some messed up problems here in St. Louis when it comes to drugs. And it's, we're not the only place. There's a lot of places that are dealing with this drug epidemic. It is a huge epidemic with these opioids. And it's a nationwide thing. Just breaks my heart reading things like that. All right, so I want to talk about things I'm thankful for. A big Thanksgiving talk with Chris Raby coming up next. And later in next hour, we're going to look at some other things too. Self-taught rocket man, which is kind of interesting. And more about groping with Al Franken. Yeah, boy, that's not going to go just yet. In Overnight America, KMOX.
Thanksgiving is this week. Another exciting time for people that like to eat. And that kind of rhymed. Chris Raby joining us in studio. You like Chris Raby?
I do like to eat. Yeah. I love Thanksgiving.
It was almost poetic, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was very good.
So before I ask you the big question, I wrote about this in my blog this week. You got to be in a very similar situation because when you get together with family and friends, for me, they always want to talk politics, and I don't want to talk politics at Thanksgiving.
How do you like that?
Do you, for your sake, do they always want to talk sports? And you're like, you know, it's fun to talk sports, but for a minute, I just want to put turkey in my mouth.
Not really. I don't really get it bad. I mean, yeah, sometimes they want to talk sports, and that's great. But, you know, I'm always up in Chicago with friends and family. So
so you get to talk a whole different fan base.
Yeah, maybe I'll get it from the Cubs fans and the Blackhawks fans a little bit. But, you know, more than anything, it's one of the few times a year that I get to get home and spend time with all of my family in one place. So, yeah, we love it. I love it.
I've already thought of the go-to strategy of what to do to try to divert the talk away from politics.
What do you got?
So whenever it comes up, I am going to, because this is completely false, so just going to put that out there to begin with. I'm just going to lie and say that, you know, in Canada, they eat their turkey with ketchup. Did you know that? And then that'll start.
That'll just get people fired up.
It'll derail the entire conversation.
What? How could you do that? How could you eat? Yeah.
Why would
That's
you
good.
Cook a turkey
like
with put ketchup on it? That doesn't make a
lot. I do like that.
So that'll completely. It'll just.
That's a very good diversion.
Yeah, not bad.
That's fantastic.
So for Thanksgiving, I got a question for you. So how many family members get together for your side of the family?
Oh man, so it'll be our family. There's seven of us: grandma, great aunt. Couple aunts and uncles, not a huge group. I don't know, maybe 15. Some other people that have various other obligations, cousins and stuff with kids.
Yeah,
they'll swing by. Uh-huh. Not a huge group, but a good size.
Okay, when you and the buddies get together, it's like, okay, if you're going to order pizza, everyone chips in. That's kind of what people do. If like you're watching the game or whatever it is. Now, have you ever been to a Thanksgiving meal where someone asks you to pitch in?
No,
not
it's
once.
Ridiculous.
Have you ever heard of that? I've heard of it. I've never seen
like
it.
Like a family meal on Thanksgiving Day?
Family meal on Thanksgiving.
Where have you heard of this?
I've heard people talk about this before. Like, I've heard stories.
That this is a real thing.
So I need to actually talk to someone this has happened to.
I can't. Yeah. I don't believe that happens.
So this is like a conspiracy theory.
So you're asking family members to chip in money. See, could see asking them to bring something.
Yes. Which is common.
Or help out. But I have never heard of anyone asking family members to chip in cash.
Well, if you think about it, let's say 10 to 15 bucks a head, because it's not always cheap to cook for that many people because you're getting a lot of different foods. So, and when you talk about 15, 20, 25 people and you're the one cooking every year, the host.
But you're the host. It's part of the holiday.
What if you're forced to be the host because you have the largest location or central place for people to go to?
I don't know. I guess it's different if you're strong-armed into hosting and going to buy, but yeah. I have honestly never heard of that.
Uh-huh.
I've never heard of that. People asking for money? That just seems, well, I hope no one in your family does this.
Never once.
Just seems wildly tacky.
Yes.
I would be honestly offended if someone did ask me to bring something. Or I'm sure that everyone, and I know my family members, ask my mother who hosts and we host our family, mm-hmm. ask what can I bring?
Right.
But to ask for money, that's ridiculous.
Now, let's say the scenario.
I can't. That's ridiculous.
You eat. Here's another scenario I want to throw by you. Meal's over. You're at someone else's house. Do you have any expectation of taking leftovers home?
Again, I don't know if I would have an expectation. My mother always sends people home with leftovers. She can't wait to get that stuff out of there.
Right.
But I hear that you have a little.
Yeah, this is questionable.
A little issue.
So this is where it's a little different.
Your side or your lovely wife's side of the family.
On my side of the family, parents always make me. They remind me before I take the trip up there. They
parents
say,
"Do right."
They say, "Don't forget the cooler," because they're anticipating you taking one home.
Yes, my mom said the same thing to me last week.
Don't forget the cooler. So when we go to my wife's side of the family, which we're going to this year, and which is another topic on its own.
Uh-oh.
Thanksgiving's my holiday. I feel like I should get to pick where we go. But we're going to her side of the family because her extended family's all coming to her parents' house this year, which is a rarity. So they want to be able to, it's kind of like the solar eclipse. They want to be able to catch it when we can get it. So we're going to her side of the family. You don't get leftovers on that side of the family.
I can't believe that.
No leftovers.
They want to keep it all for themselves?
Yeah, because they still have all of her brothers and sisters live in that house, and they keep all the leftovers because they use it to feed all the other kids. So they don't want to send it home with the people that go home. They want to keep it so they don't have to cook for a couple of days.
All right, I'll meet you halfway.
Yeah.
If you're hosting, don't ask me for money.
Yeah.
But you're allowed to keep the leftovers.
Oh, so that's a compromise. Yeah, because they can do what they want with it.
Yeah, I guess. Like, you kind of got to offer? Like, it's just a polite thing?
Yeah.
Even if it's like a piece of pie or something?
Just something sweet to take home, like
yeah,
with
I can see not wanting
it.
And again, we have a smaller group, so you know, my mom sends my grandma home with stuff,
yeah.
or you know, send my brother and sister who live in the city home with stuff.
Yeah,
will send me back to St. Louis with stuff. I could see. All right, if you're hosting, I still would like at least the offer of a leftover.
Right.
Even if it's like literally, hey, would you like to take a piece of pie home?
Yeah, something like that. Well,
you don't need to offer to fix them a plate of a full Thanksgiving meal.
Yeah.
But there should be some effort to offer something to take with you.
So my...
I feel like that's the spirit of the holiday.
My mother-in-law, she does this. She specifically makes me a pie for like special meals. My favorite pie.
What's your pie?
Strawberry rhubarb pie. Love it.
It's kind of a niche pie.
Mm, love it. Can't get enough of it.
Not sure I've had a strawberry rhubarb pie.
The first time she made it, I almost passed out. It was so good. It was so good. I didn't know. My expectation level was average pie. It was the best pie I've ever
had.
Yeah,
I'm not
sure
I've
ever,
yeah.
So ever since then.
Not super familiar with a strawberry rhubarb look.
Oh, you haven't?
No.
Oh, it's so good. Well, if I can get my in-laws to let me bring some back, we'll
apparently
see what
not
happens.
Yeah, jeez.
Well, the odds of you being able to get one, because I'll probably eat it in the car. So that's
kind of a
Thanksgiving
messy
tradition.
Dish for the car. It's kind of a messy.
It's like eating Taco
transit.
Bell. You can't do Taco Bell in
dish,
the car,
no.
can you? Unless you
gotta
do
wait
like
till
the
you get home.
Yeah, it's just going to get everywhere.
Yeah,
there's a few of those foods you just can't do in the car unless you're the passenger, and even then it's hard.
Basically, if you're eating something in the car, it's going to spill. I have tried, and I will try when I drive. I'm driving home this week, or I'm driving back to St. Louis.
Yeah.
I'm starving. Even if you pull over and get like you know. Couple of double cheeseburgers or something, without fail, I'll spill a dab of ketchup or a stray
yep.
piece of lettuce or
you
something.
Check, yeah. Now this is,
I do that even when I'm not driving and trying to eat. Like I have never gone to a Mexican restaurant and not gotten some salsa from the chips and salsa on me.
Yeah,
like the vest I'm wearing right now, there's probably salsa stains. I swear, even if you get like you kind of look for the good chips
mm-hmm.
to dip. Like with the good retention receptacle for the
yeah.
salsa. And I still, without fail, will dribble some salsa. I need to like grab a handful of cocktail napkins from the bar
yeah.
and kind of lay them around me.
All right. So here's the Shark Tank idea, bib vest. So it's a vest that's intended to be a bib to protect your shirt. It's a little classier than a bib.
It kind of looks like a vest.
Yeah, it looks like a vest. So it's a bib vest.
And you pop it on.
Yeah, you just put
it
on. Like
ready to eat.
You have a zipper on front, so
yeah.
it doesn't look like a bib, but the intention is to protect your shirt. So
I would wear that.
Bib vest.
I'm a vest guy.
All right, Shark Tank it.
I think I could do that, yeah.
So one more thing. Only a maniac would do this, but
uh-oh.
I'm just going to throw it out there. I've
charge family members a cover to get in.
Yeah.
Is it one in, one out? You have like a velvet rope?
You got to get your ticket punch.
Yeah.
And on the 10th Thanksgiving, you get one free. So, here's a maniac thing. I've seen people eat this in the car. It's a Thanksgiving thing, too. You ever seen anyone eat mashed potatoes and gravy with their fingers in the car?
No. That's
I have.
From where? Like KFC?
Yeah, from like KFC. You're a maniac if you do that, though.
All right. We've gotten through a lot of what I would consider offensive topics. Charging family members for Thanksgiving is offensive. Forbidding anyone from even elderly relatives from taking mm-hmm. food home who may not want to cook for themselves. It's offensive.
Yeah.
But eating mashed potatoes and gravy in the car with your fingers takes the bowl of potatoes.
Or the rhubarb pie.
That's terrible.
Chris Raby, thanks for the fun Thanksgiving and Thanksgiving conversation. And thank you so much for joining us here in Overnight America.
Have a great weekend, buddy. We'll see you next week. Happy Thanksgiving.
You can always talk more Thanksgiving if you like. What's the family traditions you want to talk about with your family? 314-436-7900 or email me ryan.recker@kmox.com or at Ryan Recker on Twitter. It's Overnight America, KMOX.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.